Hello, gaming intelligentsia. Before we start today's podcast, here is a message from our sponsor. The Agamenex podcast is made possible with the support from our sponsors at Pragmatic Solutions, leaders in intelligent platform technology. The Pragmatic Solutions player account management platform is an incredibly powerful technology stack for today's gaming business. Their modern, modular platform provides all the core services to power your business, and their SaaS licensing model allows you to reduce cost and accelerate your strategic goals. Enterprise technology with decades of operational know-how at scale built in. Upgrade your business to the Pragmatic Solutions PAM platform. Visit www.pragmatic.solutions to arrange a platform demo. And now, here is today's podcast.
Future trends, deep insights, industry leaders. This is the iGaming Next podcast with your host, Pierre Lind.
And we are live with Björn Nilsson, CSO of Trigger. How's it going today, Björn?
Pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I am fantastic, thank you. I can't complain. I can't complain at all. It's a beautiful day here in Malta. We have 18 degrees outside. I was used to having lunch in the sun just before this podcast, actually. So I was quite happy with that. How's everything over in Sweden?
Well, here in the middle of the woods, it's I think it was minus 16 this morning, and probably about minus 10 now. And reasonably sunny, and it's beautiful out, but it's very cold.
Yeah, amazing. Well, this is the primary reason why I moved from Sweden, actually, to this distinction. So
I understand. I'm happy.
Yeah, quite happy about that. But from one thing to the other, Björn, the topic of today is sports betting and how it's potentially is just ripe for massive disruption at the moment. And just to give a little bit context to this, you're the CSO of Triggy, obviously a B2B sports betting solution, and the co-founder of that company as well. Could you give a little bit context just on you, yourself, your background in the industry, and also just give us a little, like, go through a little bit the sports betting history here and like the incremental innovations that we've seen from the last 10 years, let's say.
Sure. So I started in the industry as a management trainee to Pontus Lindwall. So that was a pretty good introduction into the business. That was back in the fall of 2000. I've been in the industry ever since in various positions, but running my own businesses mostly from 2004. I've been a consultant at Unibet, Leo Vegas, and Veran John, amongst other places, but mainly run my own businesses, and had a lot of fun in the industry, of course. I think the industry is really about to change, right? The last 10 or 15 years or so, the innovations that we've seen. First you took the Excel-based sports book that you had on your computer and you put it on the mobile, tried to cramp everything in on the same little screen, made it quite difficult to navigate for the users. Then the apps came and you can do them a bit more user-friendly. Then I think the real big innovation was live betting or in-play betting. And after that, we had cash out, which it's a hygiene factor today. Everybody needs to have it, right? And after that, there's pretty much been no real innovation, I'd say. But I think that's about to change. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff for sure. And What would you say, you know, Björn, in the sports betting industry specifically, you know, as you're saying, there hasn't been much innovation. I think we spoke about this a little bit before the podcast. It's the B2B providers themselves have been kind of beating the drum and saying that they have a lot of innovation coming from them and whatnot. But from an outside point of view, these have been more incremental changes in the industry, I guess. Is there any reason you'd say why we haven't seen any major disrupting innovation?
That's kind of self-evident because, I mean, the real innovation has been in how do I optimize my marketing money? so whoever is best at tracking and getting the best ROI, that's been the winner in the last 10 years, right? And it's been a fantastic business. But I think in the long run, product will matter a lot. So so that's that will take a lot bigger place in sportsbooks going forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. I tend to agree with that as well. So the base of the discussion today is something we've discussed in the podcast before here. And the last couple of episodes, it was Robin Reed who touched about this first, and then me and Jesper Scherbrink talked about this as well. Is the fact that on the sports betting side of things now, it seems that we are at the cusp of a revolution in some sense. And we talked about this before, that basically Dazn, who is a sports betting, a sports streaming service, they stream a lot of boxing fights and things like this. They have recently acquired Shay Segev as their CEO in the organization. And that is begs the question, you know, why would they do a move like that? And wouldn't it make, then we were discussing, wouldn't it make perfect sense if a streaming service like Dazn would flip the switch and incorporate sports betting right in their own platform, which basically then removes this barrier that you have to have one platform to watch the game and one platform to actually place a bet. You just incorporate that into one thing. So I would just like to start to asking the question, then, what do you think about this theory? And do you think that it's as disruptive as me and Jesper?
Yeah, I really do. I think it's an amazing opportunity. And looking at Dazn, they have a sports betting DNA. I mean, it's the former Perform Group, right? So they've worked with sports data and betting data for ages. So it makes a lot of sense for them to bring in Shay and to look at bringing betting into their streams, and that's certainly, you know, you're bringing betting to viewers. You're not forcing viewers to go somewhere else to do their bets. So
yeah, exactly, and it's all about removing friction, right, in general. You know, sometimes you can remove friction in incremental ways, you know, you make it a little bit easier to place a bet or whatnot, but here we are talking about a pretty massive step where, again, you're removing this big block of having to have two separate services to place a bet into one. Exactly. Could you say that as well, like this, it's about removing friction in these type of things, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, there are quite a few others that could do the same thing, right? Like Amazon Prime, for instance, they're buying sports rights all over the world. And I think they're also acquiring people from our industry to move into Amazon. So that's also an interesting one. And then, of course, the sport radars. And I think most of all, if you look at the NFL or the NBA, or they have a lot to gain as well on bringing the sports betting volumes up. They own the rights, so they can do so many things with those rights. I was talking to someone else the other week about the NFL, and they sell their viewing rights or their broadcasting rights for $7 billion a year. But research show that that bettors, people that place bets on the NFL, they spend three times as long before the TV watching the NFL. That means that they could probably sell the broadcasting rights quite more expensively down the road as well. So,
yeah, it's so interesting, you know, and like we were talking about before the podcast here, you mentioned as well, beyond that, Amazon Prime, then obviously buying up the sports betting or sports rights in across the world here, and you mentioned India specifically, right? With the PFL, it's like the cricket league over there, which is really big, right?
Yeah, I think they bought the rights for New Zealand cricket to show in India, but they're and I don't know if they have bought the rights for the IPL in India, but at one of the betting on sports conferences, there was like a betting on India session where they said that they estimate betting on cricket in India is $200 billion a year. So it makes a lot of sense to buy those rights and, of course, incorporate betting into the streams.
Yeah, of course. And so what we are seeing here could potentially be a bit of a war now between the services, right? Where you have streaming services like Dazn, you have ESPN Plus, you have Amazon Prime. I mean, in Sweden, we have done on a more local level this C More, right?
Yeah, C More and Viaplay, yeah.
Yeah, Viaplay at the same time. Do you think that, you know, what would be kind of your predictions here in general? Do you think we'll, let's just assume here now that this will be part of the strategy of these streaming services to incorporate sports betting as well? Do you think that we'll kind of see this little war between them who can buy up these rights and offer basically sports betting on an exclusive basis?
Perhaps not on an exclusive basis. I don't know enough about sports right that way, but yeah, I mean, of course, it's like there is a war already in buying sports rights. So any way you can monetize them and doing it through betting in regulated markets, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And I guess also, you know, if we're going to look at it from, you know, why this is such a disruptor as well in that case, is the fact that these streaming services, the reason why you sign up as a subscriber to Dazn isn't necessarily that you want to sports bet. Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily that you want to place a bet on the boxing match that you are looking at. But so you are signing up as a genuine customer because you just want to watch sports. But then the cross sales opportunity becomes really interesting then for Dazn. So they are kind of pulling in a completely new demographic into the sports betting sector, right? So yeah, is that a fair way to say?
Definitely. I mean, you cater to a new audience, and it's not like you have to go look for betting. It's presented to you right there. So it's probably gonna turn a whole lot of people into punters, but perhaps more entertainment punters placing smaller bets, but several bets on the same event that they're watching. That's how I foresee it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, there's also something we talked about here before the podcast a little bit, but you know, the team owners as well on a individual team level, like they would obviously have their own apps. Like you talked about this, when you go to the stadium, for example, you have to sign up with their own app, and also the opportunities to potentially incorporate sports betting in that app. Can you talk a little bit more about that as well, perhaps?
Sure. I mean, that's something that we're working on. Intrigue, together with an app company in the US, they cater to about 35 franchises in NBA, NFL, MLB, and no, not NFL. So it's basketball, baseball, hockey, and soccer. And they provide everything in those apps, everything from, you know, ticketing to concessions to team info, stats, and so forth. But all of the franchises in the US, they sign up with sportsbooks to be their official sponsors, but they're just doing branding. So if we could bring our Trigger product into the team apps, that way we can help convert the fans into bettors. And that's something that I think is really interesting as well. It's the same thing as the streaming service that we just spoke about, right? You're placing betting before fans rather than having fans that are interested in betting going to a betting site. So it's a different way of approaching them.
Yeah, exactly. The friction becomes much less, right? It's a demographic that wouldn't necessarily go through the process of signing up at williamhill.com and the KYC, all the checks and everything. But if they have the option, just organically easy to place a bet while they're in an app for another purpose, they might take that step, basically. And that could obviously massively increase the revenue into sports betting in general, right?
Definitely, it makes a lot of sense, and you get the kind of players that are fans, you know, that are real. They're into this team, and they may or into this race or this boxer. They may not necessarily place bets every day on different things, but placing bets occasionally on your favorite teams, that's probably high margin players as well. So quite interesting for the operators.
Yeah, that's true. It's not going to be like the top pros, exactly. Undiscovered sports betting champions who will be betting there. Like you're saying, they will be more like emotional driven bettors.
Probably.
That's a good point. That's a good point as well. Can you talk a little bit more as well, Björn, just Tryggy in itself, your company, how it was founded and kind of what your purpose is in general, just to give a bit more context to
the
discussion
today. So I founded Tryggy together with Daniel Svensson and Stefan Thunberg. We have different backgrounds within the industry, but we've all worked in it for a long time, where Stefan is on the finance side and Daniel is a, he refers to himself as an odds nerd and a developer. We decided to look at what we could bring to the market, where there is a gap in the market. And the first product that we went live with is a live score app, branded live score app, but with betting features. So we let fans or players say that I'm interested in this team, I'm interested in this specific event, and we will send them notifications when specific things occur. And clicking the notification will be deep linked into the sportsbook or even into the bet slip of the sportsbook. So that's the first product, and it's used for acquisition. We have that live with Sportsbet. You had Tim on the show here earlier.
Yes.
And we're live with LeoVegas and Pinnacle. And now we're also packaging that product as an API so that it can be integrated with the sportsbook, and then it becomes more of an engagement tool and retention tool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, and shout out to Tim Heath, obviously. He's the person who connected us. I'm happy about that. We have connection to him both. He's both shareholders in Agimin Next and also in Tryggy, right? And Tryggy as well, he's part of, I think.
Yeah, he was our lead investor, so definitely.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for connecting us today. It's a pleasure always to be in touch with him. So we identified, on the disrupting side here now in the sports betting market, we have allocated two things here now, right? Which is one of them, the fact that sports streaming networks could potentially just flip the switch here and incorporate sports betting right into their own platforms. And a second one as well, which is the fact that on a team level, right, that then incorporate sports betting into their own apps.
Yeah.
So for fans to be able to just play directly through the team's apps, let's say. So another thing we also spoke about is you mentioned live score here now as well, right, which is potentially a third thing as well that is like kind of ripe for disruption. Can you talk a little bit more about what?
Of course, I think it's super interesting. I mean, there are tens of millions of downloads of live score apps out there. And probably 50% of the ones that use live score apps, they also bet in some capacity. And the other 50%, they're fans and they follow the stats and they follow their teams and so forth. You have livescore.com, you have Forza, SofaScore, FlashScore, Scores 365 and so forth, or 365 Score maybe. Anyways, there are lots and lots of downloads of these apps. What if they would include betting into those apps? That would also be quite interesting.
We're
doing it in a sense, but we're doing it for an operator, right? So we bring the live score experience to their customers or to that brand that they can acquire new customers through a live score experience. But the existing live score apps, that's definitely something that could disrupt the betting market.
Yeah, because the power here, right, is the fact that these live score apps are so engaging to the users, right? You were mentioning before that they send out like a billion, like one of them is sending out like a billion push notifications a year or something.
Yeah. So they communicate a lot with the audience. So it's super interesting.
Yeah. So there's at least three areas here which could just like completely disrupt the traditional sports betting markets, you know, and that begs the question a little bit, like, you know, we had Ulrik Bengtsson on the other day on the podcast, you know, CEO of William Hill, like a traditional UK sports betting organization. And, you know, William Hill have kind of made the transition once before in a way where they've gone from, you know, the traditional, how do you say, like the betting shops, and they transitioned into online, obviously, a couple of decades ago. But now we're looking at, you know, potentially the sports streaming services disrupting them. Like, if you are Ulrik Bengtsson, Björn, would you be worried?
I would be worried, yeah. But I mean, they're a huge company with decent resources behind them, so maybe they should look at taking the leap and going into, you know, making sure that they are the first choice for these streaming companies. The streaming companies don't necessarily know betting, so they need to team up with someone who can help them out. Whereas, well, DAZN may have better knowledge than some of the others, but it's a definite opportunity for forward-thinking companies to sort of help these streaming services become betting sites or betting channels.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a disruptive event that we are standing in front of here now, right? And you mentioned this before in the podcast, but it's like once the floodgates are open, so to say, it will be, it can potentially be a quite quick transition here. And
especially for new players. I mean, it may not be for you know, people like myself, mid-40s, and I like to place bets. So I would probably still go to my preferred betting site. So it's, I don't think that the traditional bettors of today would naturally change and start betting at DAZN. But I think that DAZN is targeting or could be targeting a completely new audience. Young people in newly regulated markets, and fans that haven't thought of being bettors before. So I think the overall turnover is going to go up quite a bit over the next 5-10 years. But I don't think that the traditional sports books would be sort of you know, left behind, but they need to adapt, of course. And everybody does, that's right. It's adapt or die.
Yeah, exactly. That, I think that's like a good point that you're mentioning. It's adapt or die in this situation. And they should absolutely be aware of this potential trend. I mean, I would just want to make it clear now that we are obviously speculating a lot today here.
Of course.
Of what may happen, you know, but it just seems like such an obvious thing that is around the corner. And if it's not DAZN, you know, it's someone else. You know, I think that's the point that we're trying to make here. And if you are William Hill, if you are the bet365s of this world, you better be aware of this potential disruptive event in the industry. And you know, maybe they should think of they probably have the cash flow to kind of create their own streaming service potentially. That's another solution as well.
Of course, both of them. I mean, both William Hill and Bet365, in a way, would have the power to do that. So,
yeah, exactly. And you know, the funny thing here was that in iGamingNext 2019, we had Todd Haushalter, who was the CPO of Evolution Gaming, and he asked the question to the audience, you know, what could disrupt the iGaming industry? And he was just playing with some thoughts back then, and he was saying, you know, he put a logo up on the screen that was saying Amazon Casino. And he was like, this should terrify you. He said, he said, it's not happening, but it should terrify you because if Amazon decides to flip the switch, they are not going to use the traditional casino games or whatever. They're going to create their own. They're going to lose €1 billion in the first year just to get the engines running and so forth. And funnily enough, you know, now as we go forward here 2 years, this is actually what may end up happening with Amazon Prime here. Then who knows, you know?
Yeah, right before the podcast here, I typed in amazon.bet and it took me to Amazon, and I typed in amazonbet.com and it also took me there. So either someone is at least thinking that way.
Yeah, there we go. It's like the clues of a puzzle here that is slowly coming together here, Björn, I feel. You know, but yeah, it's a bit of a thought provoking conversation in general today that I think it's just good to kind of lift this up and so forth. And you know, as a kind of little closing point today on the last part, like, what would you say now, Björn, as we look forward in the sports betting industry? Also, you know, tie the US market into the equation as well. You know, do you think that there will be certain markets where this will happen quicker than others? Is like US perhaps more primed for something like this, because just the fact that it's the US market, traditionally the US people are not used to playing online, so they wouldn't, maybe the step for them to sign up an account is bigger than for a European player, whereas like if they are presented with this at Dazn or ESPN Plus, the step for them to actually become a sports bettor is lower. Do you think that could be something as well, or how do you see the future in general now playing out?
Yeah, I see that I think that Europe will be the slowest adapters to this, whereas both the US and Africa and LATAM, I think it would be much quicker adoption to betting within streaming services there. Well, first of all, because we're used to a specific way of betting here, whereas the Americans and Africans and people in LATAM, they haven't placed that many bets, most people online or through mobile over the years. So, you know, changing behavior is always difficult, but when you're creating a behavior from scratch, it's I think product will have a bigger impact. So definitely those markets are quite interesting. The US, I mean, definitely. That's a given for this product, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever figures it out is going to be a big winner, I think.
Yeah.
So to close the circle today, it seems very much like the sports betting industry is absolutely ripe for disruption. I mean, we're speculating a lot today, but it seems that there's on many fronts there's a potential for disruption here. And
definitely.
Yeah. And as technology moves on and becomes more advanced, and we'll see new services that then can potentially be plugged into this sports betting world as well. So it'll be interesting to follow here. Yeah, maybe we'll do a follow-up podcast here in 2 years, and we'll see
good.
Where we are at that
Sounds
point.
Good.
But I'd like to thank you for coming on today, Björn. Really interesting to hear your insight. We've been talking a bit about this for such a long time in the podcast, and it's interesting to have someone like yourself with the experience that you have and the knowledge that you have to give your opinion on this. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate that.
And thank you for having me. Really appreciate that too. It was good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And have a good day, everybody.
All the best. Bye.
This fruitful discussion has been brought to you by our sponsors, Pragmatic Solutions, leaders in intelligent platform technology. Is your business struggling to keep up with the development demands on your current gaming platform? Well, then it's time to upgrade to the Pragmatic Solutions PAM platform. Multi-tenant, multi-currency, multi-regional, API-based, rule engine automated, regulation-ready, it's all here out of the box. Smart businesses leverage Pragmatic's SaaS model and license powerful modern technology for a fraction of the cost of in-house development. Upgrade your business to the Pragmatic Solutions PAM platform. Visit www.pragmatic.solutions to arrange a platform demo. Stay safe and take care.